If you know someone who behaves like a toxic narcissist, you probably have recognized that their seemingly unflappable personality is pretty difficult to deal with, to say the very least. But did you know that there are a number of other things that the average narcissist is seriously afraid of, and that they hide these fears in order to avoid having them used against them? It's true. If you have been profoundly impacted by one or more narcissists in your life, whether it was a parent, an ex, a friend, or even a coworker, you might already know what to expect from them. You're probably well aware that there are many things that a narcissist cannot and will not accept. You know that they will not accept being confronted or criticized, and they won't accept you living your life on your own terms. And you know that they won't tolerate you speaking up for yourself. They most definitely cannot stand being humiliated or embarrassed, and while they can't imagine what would happen if they were to be exposed for what they truly are, the idea of it is so painful for them that they literally lie about themselves about who and what they are. Do narcissists have a fear of abandonment? Is that even possible? And if they do, what exactly does that look like and where did it come from? Whether you had a narcissistic ex or a narcissistic friend or parent, you knew that if you didn't give the narcissist what they wanted and what they needed, you would face whatever consequences they might enact. You would be the focal point of their rage, and the narcissist would devalue you even more. That is a terrifying thought that haunts anyone who's ever been in a toxic relationship with a narcissist.
A narcissist, when it comes to emotional development, certain parts of their personality just don't develop normally. This causes a couple of different problems for them. Narcissists often have a fear of abandonment that causes them to sort of keep their eye open for other options, which is ridiculous and hurtful, especially when you're in a committed relationship with them.
But starting the moment you realize what you've been dealing with, you're going to start to change. It'll seem slow, but before you know it, you'll recognize that your boundaries have been violated over and over again by that narcissist. That'll be right around the time when you reach a point where you know something in your life needs to change, and fast. Your understanding of this person and their personality issues, well, it'll get clearer and more comprehensive as you study them and you look at their typical narcissistic behaviors, checking them against videos and podcasts like this one. As this happens, you're going to find yourself thinking a little differently, and you might even stop trying to coddle and protect them from disappointment or anger or whatever that will inevitably come when they notice that you're no longer tolerating their childish behavior.
And very often you can look back into their childhood and see where someone abandoned them along the way, whether it was a parent or a friend or even someone dying in their life, which obviously was out of that person's control. It happens, and it does lend to their lack of empathy over time if they weren't properly nurtured and supported during that event. If someone dies early in their childhood, or if someone leaves them, parent or whatever, very often they will decide they don't need anybody, or they will cling so hard to the people around them that they try to control them. And this is another example of how narcissism manifests. There are two really common problems that narcissists experience as a result of their brain development or personality development or lack thereof. Narcissists need you to confirm who they are. They need you to validate them. They need you to be their narcissistic supply, and they fear not having it. They fear that if they don't have a primary source of narcissistic supply, they will crumble. Their mask will fall off and everybody will know who they really are. They need confirmation that they're okay, confirmation that they're good enough, confirmation that they exist, that they're better than someone, and they need constant supply in order to feel good. It's literally like air for them. And so if you take away this supply, they can't breathe. They can't function as they normally do. The world is confusing for them in certain ways. Because they lack empathy, they don't always notice what other people are thinking or feeling. And basically, they need other people to help them sort of make judgments about the world, give them input. What do they think? They're not sure until they ask everybody else. Have you ever seen that? Now, certainly, narcissists are very good at appearing to know all the answers. And they're very good at having very strong opinions that are often ridiculous. Very often, they gather those opinions from people in their lives who they admire or appreciate in some way. And that's an interesting thing that not a lot of people talk about with narcissists.
The narcissist will do anything they can to hide their imperfections. They know deep down that they are far from perfect. Not that any of us is perfect, but that's exactly why narcissists are so worried about their imperfections being exposed somehow. Because once that happens, that perfect image would become tarnished for good, which is something that narcissists want to avoid at all costs.
You ever notice how a narcissist stares at you really hard? A lot of times they do that because they're desperately trying to read someone's face to see how they feel about something. Even though they don't understand the emotion behind it, they can certainly understand if a person is feeling positively or negatively about anything in particular. And if that is a person who they admire or a person who they think is better than them or might be as good as them, then that person's opinion matters and they might accept their opinion as their own.
Listen, nobody wants to be embarrassed or humiliated in public, right? But for the narcissist, this is the worst possible thing that could happen to them, even though this is often one of the ways that the narcissist will use to manipulate and control you. In fact, if they're worried that someone's going to humiliate them or embarrass them in public, one way the narcissist will try to prevent this is to actually go out of their way to embarrass other people instead. And if they feel the least bit embarrassed, they will embarrass you even more, whether or not you're the one that actually caused the humiliation.
Narcissists, they don't have the ability to make their own internal judgments very easily. They don't know for sure what's good or bad or in between with their own standards, with their own thought process, because all of that is flawed. Essentially, they make their decisions based on what looks impressive to them, what looks exciting to them, and watching the faces of other people. So if someone else is like, wow, that's a really nice car, the narcissist goes, I like that person, I want that car. Or I want to be like that person, I want that car. Or I find that person attractive, I want that car. You see what I'm saying?
They fear rejection like everyone else, but for narcissists, it's different. Since they desperately require the narcissistic supply of their partner's and everyone else's admiration, they feel almost like they're starving if they don't get it. It's a very important source of supply, like blood to a vampire. Their deep hidden sense of inferiority and their secret sense of being unlovable drives them towards superficial attention and perceived acceptance from everyone around them. Rejection would only highlight their need, their desperate need for supply. It would remind them that they are not the person they pretend to be and that they are not, in fact, lovable at all, despite the fact that narcissists obsessively attempt to make themselves appear untouchable. They secretly fear rejection when it comes to love, job seeking, or even social lives. If a narcissist is rejected, they will display narcissistic rage because, after all, you have triggered one of their worst fears by rejecting them.
Narcissists are shockingly very affected by things like advertising. You know, if they see a new phone on the TV, they want the new phone. If they see a food commercial, they order the food. Whatever it is, narcissists are very, very swayable if you approach them in the right way. The funny thing about narcissists is this is not true in relation to people who are close to them. It's only true in relation to people who they really don't know in real life, they don't know well.
Well, if you've spent any amount of time with a narcissist, then you know exactly how blunt they can be and how painfully they will criticize you. From everything from your appearance to your thoughts and your feelings and your ethics and even your core values. Yeah. It's true that narcissists are all about dishing out criticism, but we all know they're not so good at accepting it, constructive or otherwise. If you've ever criticized a narcissist, chances are you dealt with narcissistic rage and or narcissistic injury, which is their natural response to criticism. First, they get angry. Then they display narcissistic injury. You know, the poor me act. This is followed by or in conjunction with the narcissistic flip, you know, where they turn your criticism around and find something to criticize you for instead. Then they'll attack you, they'll deflect your criticism, and they'll find something to cut you down a few notches.
So what it all comes down to is without the narcissistic supply, the primary, the secondary, the tertiary, and even the TV in some cases, they aren't getting the feedback they need. They literally can't function without that feedback and they can't make decisions in their life.
While they like to appear to be perfect to the general public, most narcissists are secretly insecure and a little bit self-loathing. We know that the average toxic narcissist has a false self that acts as a mask to their true self, which is damaged and vulnerable. For all of the bravado and grandiosity, the real person behind the narcissist's mask is often insecure and desperate to be loved. Sadly, since they're so self-focused and only concerned about their own emotions, it's really hard for narcissists to maintain a long-term, mutually satisfying relationship. And so when their true self comes through, well, anyone who isn't actively already entrenched with that person will run the other way, especially if they're emotionally healthy. So one of their biggest fears then is being found out, being seen for what they truly are.
Because of what the narcissist went through growing up, whether it was abandonment or neglect or abuse or even overindulgence without emotional support, the narcissist is seriously addicted to narcissistic supply. They have lost their true self or at least hidden it very deeply. And so the narcissistic supply helps them to fuel the false self that they have created. If narcissistic supply stops existing, then the false self is essentially incapacitated. So the false self, because it's not true, it's not real, it is the mask that the narcissist wears, requires constant maintenance, constant upkeep. It's exhausting for the narcissist, believe it or not, and it becomes increasingly exhausting if they don't have proper narcissistic supply.
As often as a narcissist threatens, directly or indirectly, to abandon you, you would think that they were perfectly secure in their ability to remain surrounded by sources of narcissistic supply, as in people who love them, admire them, and serve them as needed. But the truth is that while abandonment is probably the most human fear one can have, narcissists are not immune to it. In fact, if we're being honest, they're probably pretty normal this way.
The abandonment factor represents lack of contact and essentially lack of supply or loss of supply. So if the narcissist loses supply, they have to seek replacement supply. That's hard work. They don't like that. They have to juggle things. Things are crazy. If they are afraid they're going to lose supply, often they're going to cheat on you because they want to make sure to have a backup plan. And everybody, listen closely. Don't be any narcissist or anyone's backup plan, please. You deserve to be somebody's first. And I don't mean first ever. I mean first priority. The fear of abandonment can, for a narcissist, can be likened to the fear of running out of water if you were going on a long desert trek and you didn't have any stuff or people with you. It causes significant anxiety. It keeps them in constant motion, constantly trying to juggle everything and make everything happen. The funny thing is that the way they treat the narcissistic supply in the first place is often what causes the abandonment to occur. It's what causes the narcissist to be afraid, because they know they're treating the person badly. They know the person might leave them, which is why they look for people who will allow themselves to be abused. Empaths, people who care about how they feel, and then they use the fear of abandonment against you. They will even say to you, like in a therapy session, I'm afraid she's going to leave me. I'm afraid he's going to leave me. And then what's the first thing an empath is going to say when somebody says that to them? We're going to go, I promise I won't leave you. And then we've made a promise to them, and we've said, I'll be here no matter what, I'm going to be here. And they go, oh, yeah, that's good. Now I can mess around. Poke, 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 poke. And they start the crap with you. But what happens is, because of the way they get abandoned, because of the way they treat us, the cycle, it continues. And the cycle, ironically enough, they do this other thing where they often leave you before you have the chance to leave them. They abandon you emotionally, and they push you away, and they tell you, ah, you know, you're leaving me anyway, just get out of here. Or they leave you, they cheat on you and they head off with someone else. Or they just have an argument with you and you are left going, what the heck just happened? And you're spinning and you're spinning and you're spinning, and you're in that cycle. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for a narcissist. They know it's coming, or that it might come, and yet they continue to treat you like crap because they can't help it. They can't control themselves.
With that being said, the difference between a narcissist's fear of abandonment and that of the average person is that a narcissist will actively abuse and manipulate the people around them in order to control them and keep them in their place.
Which is why I always tell you the very best possible solution to this problem is to go no contact. The narcissist has the capacity to heal, but won't almost ever. I've never heard of one actually healing and actually succeeding long term. That's the issue. The narcissist could address the core issue, the core problem, the core wound, the thing that caused them to become a narcissist, and then they could move forward. But if they continue on their current track, they will never change. They will never move forward.
The narcissist's biggest and most daunting fear is being seen as ordinary or not special. See, narcissists like to see themselves as different and better than everyone else. They think they're above the law, and they see themselves as deserving of special attention and treatment at all times. The idea that they might be anything other than absolutely extraordinary is almost devastating to them. They want to be the smartest or the richest or the best looking person they know. They need others to see them this way. And if you can't do that, then that doesn't allow them to stay inside their little narcissist bubble. See, narcissists don't want to be treated just as well as everyone else is. They don't want to be treated like everyone else at all. They want to be treated better than everyone else. But forcing them to acknowledge this, or even just actively treating them like everyone else, will make them feel attacked and demeaned. One of their biggest secrets, and incidentally, one of their most intense secret fears, is the idea that you might develop self-respect and learn or remember that you're someone who has value. See, when you do develop or redevelop self-respect, you're going to quickly learn that you deserve to be treated with respect. You'll start setting boundaries and you'll stop taking their crap. This, of course, can lead to all the other fears coming to the surface. Their imperfections will be exposed. They'll be rejected, which will lead to embarrassment and being found out, and ultimately abandonment, which means they'll definitely be ordinary. While fearing and disliking the feeling of being rejected isn't just a narcissistic thing, nearly everyone has this fear. But for narcissists, feeling rejected can happen in any number of situations. Obviously, if they're turned down if they ask you to be with them, they're gonna feel rejected. We get that, right? Or if a friend or family member refuses to speak to or see them due to a decision to go no contact, they're gonna feel rejected. If they don't get the job they wanted, they'll feel rejected. And honestly, I think all of those things are fairly normal. We can relate to those things, right? However, a narcissist might also feel rejected if they just don't get what they want or if a situation doesn't happen to go their way. They might feel rejected if they call you and you don't have time to talk to them, or if they want to see you and you're at work and you can't leave right then. They're going to feel rejected if you're spending time with your kid and you make that a priority over them. And they might feel rejected if they see you in public but you don't happen to see them. Seriously. Or maybe you decide to go out with your friends one night and you ask them to stay home and take care of the kids. They feel rejected. Maybe they feel rejected because you won an award and they didn't win one too. And that's even true if the award is something that they're not involved with, like your job or a particular talent you have that they don't. They're going to feel rejected even if they don't know the answer to a question and someone else does, or if they misspell a word and you call them out on it, or if they fail at literally anything at all. Of course, the biggest rejection for a narcissist is the moment you decide you're done with their abuse and you go no contact. You refuse to see them or speak to them. You block them on social media. You actively avoid them. This makes them feel like they've absolutely lost control over you, and they have, but you've also taken away their source of narcissistic supply, maybe for good. So what should you expect if you reject a narcissist? Well, the first thing you need to know here is that rejecting a narcissist, if you ask the narcissist, is practically the kiss of death. It isn't acceptable in their world because their ego just can't handle the emotions associated with it. Plus, if you ask them, they're the ones who get to do the rejecting, not you or anyone else. If you reject a narcissist, you're essentially cutting off their source of narcissistic supply. And my friend, you can expect to deal with a very unpleasant reaction from the narcissist. For all the bravado and grandiosity, you would think that narcissists are practically indestructible. That's what they want you to think. But the truth is that a narcissist will feel like their world is ending at even the tiniest slight that an average person would just let roll right off their back. So let's discuss the primary reactions you can expect from the narcissist after you make it clear that you want nothing to do with them. Number one, narcissistic injury. No matter what actually happened that caused you to reject them, the narcissist will quickly change the narrative of the situation to cast themselves as the victim. They will also talk about you mercilessly during this time, focusing on spreading lies to everyone they know about how you victimized them in some way. This is what we call a smear campaign, and it's how the narcissist sort of advertises their victim status, and at the same time, how they try to get their narcissistic supply needs met. This is very difficult to imagine for your average person because we don't see things the same way a narcissist does. Maybe this will help you think about it a little more clearly. Think about how you feel if you stub your toe in the dark. It throbs with pain. You might find yourself cursing and screaming about it if you're anything like me. Well, the narcissist is going to react just like that when you reject them. It almost feels like a literal injury to them. Number two, narcissistic rage. So if the narcissistic injury didn't do the trick, you can expect a narcissist to become enraged. They feel a mixture of anxiety, shame, and depression as they turn the rejection toward themselves, inward. And when that happens, they direct their rage toward you or anyone else who rejects them. They will scream, yell, hurl insults, and more. They're going to call you names, tear you down as a person, and they will dig at you at every single sensitive topic they can think of, whether it's how you are in bed, what kind of parent you are, how you keep the house, or how bad or good you are with money. Or if they're more covert, they're going to go passive aggressive on you. They might behave vindictively by sabotaging you in ways that can really mess up your life. For example, let's say you have a job interview for your dream job. The narcissist might send screenshots of the photos your friend posted on Facebook that one time you got drunk 5 years ago, hurting your chances of getting the job. Just an example. Number three, they hoover and reject you. This one might be the most painful way a narcissist could react to being rejected, but it's not uncommon. See, in this case, the narcissist will hoover you, as in do anything they can to get you back on board with the relationship, whether it's a romantic one, a family connection, or a friendship. Now, in the story I told at the beginning, it didn't work on me, but I've experienced it in other relationships, and I've heard it from many clients. Essentially, in order to get you back, the narcissist will say all the things you've always wanted to hear, all the things you always wanted them to say, and then they're going to bend over backward to convince you that this time is different. This time they're really serious, and they're totally going to follow through with all the promises they've made you. You're going to doubt them at first, but eventually you'll probably give in, either out of exhaustion or genuine hope. In either case, hold on to your hat, my friend, because once they're sure that you're 100% committed to them again, they're going to do something you won't be expecting. They're going to reject you. And then you'll be back to square one, wondering what is wrong with you and posting in your support groups about how you can't believe you fell for it again. You're going to doubt your own intelligence and you're going to feel humiliated and embarrassed. They, however, will, at least temporarily, feel vindicated because they got you back for rejecting them in the first place. Any of that sound familiar to you? If so, I want you to remember that you're not alone and that you can take back your life and find happiness. Bottom line, narcissists have some pretty deep fears and they would never knowingly let anyone see or know about them. And that's because letting anyone see their fears would trigger shame. And shame is one more thing that narcissists fear. Well, this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you know a narcissist who displays these fears? What other kinds of fears have you recognized in the narcissist in your life? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.